I'm Marty Moscow-Wayne. Welcome to Radio Times. The toppled and broken headstones discovered on Sunday at Mount Carmel Cemetery in the Wissanoming section of Philadelphia are a sign of rising anti-Semitism. The vandalism occurred just a few days after the discovery of widespread damage at a Jewish cemetery in St. Louis. Numerous Jewish community centers have been targeted with bomb threats, all hoaxes so far. A number of mosques have been set afire in the last few weeks. Muslims across the country have also been experiencing a rise in hate and hate crimes in recent months, according to the FBI. Law enforcement and political leaders have joined forces to address the problem, as have Jewish and Muslim groups who have come together to provide assistance, something we'll be talking about in just a few minutes. But let's begin with Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro. He was at the White House on Tuesday with other attorneys general, meeting with the president. And Josh Shapiro, nice to have you back with us on Radio Times.
Good to be back with you.
Before we talk about what the president said to you, what can your office do to address the fear and fear of hate crime in Pennsylvania?
Well, I could tell you, first and foremost, we're doing everything in our power to collaborate with law enforcement at the local and federal and state level to make sure we bring to justice those who have phoned in these threats, the anonymous cowards who toppled tombstones, and we're doing everything we can. And I just want to say how incredibly impressed I've been with law enforcement at every level working so diligently on these issues. I think it's also important that we stand up and speak with a unified voice against hate, whether it's myself, the governor, the mayor, leaders, as we did yesterday, people of all faiths coming together and demonstrating that while these this person or persons seek to terrorize and divide us, these incidents of hate have actually done more to unite us, I think, than many things in the recent past.
In fact, something we'll be talking about in greater detail as the hour goes along. And I'm always worried when doing an interview, a radio program like this, whether this is the kind of attention that vandals, Islamophobes, anti-Semites, and other hate mongers want. The fact that we're talking about their acts.
Well, I think what they want with their terroristic threats is to scare us. And in fact, you're seeing the exact opposite. You're seeing American Muslims raising money to help fix up a Jewish cemetery. You're seeing thousands of people on Independence Mall come together, black, white, brown, rich, poor, gay, straight, all coming together, people of all faiths, to condemn hate, condemn violence, and say that we're standing together. And I think that the exact opposite reaction from what these terrorists wanted is what's occurring in our community and communities all across the country.
You said terrorists. These are terrorists?
Well, they're seeking to bring terror onto our community. They're seeking to terrorize people and scare people and divide people. And I think the exact opposite is occurring.
What happened at the White House? You were there with most of the attorneys general, speaking with the president, talking with the president. First of all, why were you there? What was the purpose of your visit? And then we'll talk about this interchange that you had.
I was in Washington, D.C. as part of the National Association of Attorneys General meeting. And the night before, I guess it was Monday night, the White House had extended an invitation for the attorneys general to come over and visit. And it looks, to be candid, some of my Democratic colleagues didn't want to go. I thought it was important to go. I think I have great respect for the office of the presidency. I'm an attorney general representing 13 million Pennsylvanians. I want to go and hear the president, and I want to weigh in with the president on issues that are important to Pennsylvania. The president invited us in. We met in the East Room. Over 40 of us were there. He gave a few impromptu remarks and then asked if there were any questions. I raised my hand. The president called on me. I identified myself as the attorney general from Pennsylvania, and I talked about how there's been an uptick in hate speech and threats and intimidation against minority communities across the country. But in particular, in Pennsylvania, we were dealing with a rise or a spike in anti-Semitic behavior. I talked about how we had a Jewish day school on the main line evacuated, a JCC in Harrisburg in York evacuated just the day before, and 2 days before that, a Jewish cemetery, Mount Carmel Cemetery in Philadelphia, desecrated. My specific question to the president was this. I was very respectful in how I asked it. How can federal law enforcement and state law enforcement work together to address this type of hate speech, threats, and intimidation?
That was your question.
Period. That was my question.
So how did he respond?
He said three things. Number one, he called the acts reprehensible, which I commended him for. I thanked him for. Second, he said that he would speak about it later that night in his address to Congress, which in fact he did. But the third thing he said was curious and had many of us scratching our head. He said, sometimes the reverse can be true. And he used the word reverse a couple or three times. And in fact, after he concluded that answer and invited us all to walk to the Oval Office, many of my colleagues, Republican and Democrat, came over to me and said, what was he talking about? Why did he say that? And so I think a number of us left with more questions, frankly, than answers on really what I thought was a basic and fair question, which is how can state and federal law enforcement work more closely together to address these threats?
Some have said this is one of those false flags. I mean, in a sense, saying that this could have been an inside job.
Look, I don't know what the president meant or what's in his head or in his heart. Here's what I do know. Leaders, especially the President of the United States, need to speak with moral clarity on these issues, need to condemn in the most uncertain of terms, that this type of hate speech, threat, and intimidation have no place in the United States of America. And when you leave open the opportunity for certain people to interpret or misinterpret those comments, you make us less safe. And so I think we need some moral clarity from the president, from the White House, on what he meant, and specifically to condemn in forceful terms these acts, period, hard stop. There's no room for anything else in that sentence.
You've gotten a lot of attention for this interchange. Has the White House come back to explain to you directly what they meant by this phrase? Sometimes it's the reverse.
No.
So where does that leave you?
It leaves me with questions. It leaves other attorneys general with questions. And to be clear, I didn't seek out the attention on this. I've been asked to say what happened, and I explained what happened, and there's no disputing the account of that. And I've been asked to say what do I think the president meant. And I've been very clear with everyone I've talked to. I don't know what the president meant. What I do know, again, is that leaders, especially the president of the United States, needs to speak with moral clarity on these issues.
Let me play a clip from President Trump's address to a joint session of Congress, and this was on Tuesday night. Frankly, pretty much how he began his speech.
Recent threats targeting Jewish community centers and vandalism of Jewish cemeteries, as well as last week's shooting in Kansas City, remind us that while we may be a nation divided on policies, we are a country that stands united in condemning hate and evil in all of its very ugly forms.
Does that tell you what he thinks?
I appreciate those comments, just as I appreciated him saying that the acts in Pennsylvania were reprehensible. There's no question about that. And I've actually complimented the president for that. Where I still have a question is what he meant by saying the reverse could be true and why that was in his language in the first place, why that came out of his mouth, why that was in his head or in his heart. And again, I think it is critically important that people speak forcefully and clearly about these issues.
Trump's choice for director of the White House Office of Public Liaison and Intergovernmental Affairs, that's a mouthful there, tweeted a Breitbart story that Democrats incited violence at Trump rallies seemed to indicate that there might be some connection, that that's really what the president was talking about. I think he untweeted that or
right,
modified that, but nonetheless sent it out.
It's reprehensible. Unless this person, whoever it is, the head of public engagement, has some super secret knowledge of something going on in law enforcement and in this investigation that I'm not aware of, then, you know, maybe what he said is okay. But I highly doubt that. I think it is reprehensible to suggest that somehow, the Jews could be behind knocking over their own tombstones or Democrats could be behind this to try and make the president look bad. Look, I've said many times, President Trump was not my choice. I was on this program talking about that. But he's our president, and I want him to be successful because then the country will be successful. And when he does something to benefit the people of Pennsylvania, I'll stand shoulder to shoulder with him. But when he does something that undermines the safety, security, and well-being of my constituents, I'll stand up to him. This is an instance where I don't feel like I'm doing either standing shoulder to shoulder or standing up with him. I'm raising a question as to what he meant because ultimately I think that type of language makes all of us less safe. Today it may be American Jews. Tomorrow it could be our LGBTQ brothers and sisters, African-American brothers and sisters, Latino, Asian-American. Whoever is targeted because of what they look like, who they love, or who they worship to makes all of us less safe. And that's why I think leaders need to speak with moral clarity on these issues.
I hesitate to ask this, but I feel like this is the appropriate time to ask it. Do you think the president is an anti-Semite or has brought anti-Semites into his administration?
I don't believe that the president is an anti-Semite. I don't know the president other than this brief interaction that we had the other day. And I'm certainly not suggesting that. I realize others may have their own agendas and want to suggest that. As for his advisors, I know one person who works for him in the White House, and I know he's a good person. I don't know any of these other people. I'm troubled by the tweets and some of the things that some of his aides have put out there. I think there's no place for that. These are the people who are helping the man who's running the free world, and they should be a tolerant group, and they should be an understanding group, and they should be a group of people that respect and appreciate the diversity of this country.
Do you want a response from the White House? Do you still need the president to say something to clarify those words he said to you?
I think it would be helpful for the president to clarify it, not for me, the attorney general from Pennsylvania, but for all Americans who I think still have lingering questions, both about how he responded to me, how he responded to that reporter during the press conference a few weeks ago, some of the tweets that the president and his advisors have either put out or retweeted. I think that there are enough questions out there that demand a thoughtful and thorough answer from the president. Look, far be it from me to tell the president how to do his job. Perhaps it should be a statement from the White House. That's up to them. But I do think that they need to speak with moral clarity on these issues.
There was a pretty big rally just a block or two from where we were. I know you were there. The governor was there as well. This was a Stand Against Hate rally. According to the papers, a couple thousand people that showed up. What happens next? Where do we go from here? We're seeing, you know, a rise in not just anti-Semitism, but also Islamophobia.
Look, I think that everyone who is there has a responsibility. And I said this in my remarks that people who are there who are looking to me or the governor or the mayor or somebody else for all the answers, they're looking to the wrong place. They should be looking within them. Now, certainly we in law enforcement are going to do everything we can to address these threats and bring those to justice who have done these acts. But I think it's more about how we treat one another, that we recognize the invisible person in our society. We get to know someone who physically looks different than us or worships to a different God. We take note of bullying and we try to stop it. We're more responsible with how we post online. We remember this feeling of unity and togetherness that we have today and right now in a time of stress and crisis, in days where that stress and crisis has lapsed so that people treat one another more kindly and more thoughtfully. I think those are things that your listeners and everyone else can do that can make our society a stronger place.
On that note, Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro, thank you for joining us today on Radio Times.
Thank you, Marty.
You're very welcome. We're going to take a very short break, and then we have two more guests who will join the conversation, frankly, carry on the conversation, talking about the rise in hate crimes and acts of hate and vandalism, and we want to hear from you as well. So stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Marty Moscoen, and you're listening to Radio Times here on WHYY. Volunteers have been working together to repair the damage done at Mount Carmel Jewish Cemetery in Philadelphia, targeted by vandals last weekend. There's been an increase in anti-Semitism as well as Islamophobia in the U.S., acts of vandalism, bomb threats, arson, graffiti, and personal attacks. We're going to talk about what's behind the rise and what to do about it, and let me introduce our two guests. Tariq El-Masidi raised more than $100,000 to repair damage done to a Jewish cemetery in St. Louis. He's founder of Celebrate Mercy, producing videos and webcasts on the life of the Prophet Muhammad. And Tariq El-Masidi, nice to have you with us on
Thanks.
Radio Time.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Also with us is Nancy Baron Bear. She's regional director of the Anti-Defamation League. Their watchword is Imagine a World Without Hate. And Nancy, nice to have you with us on Radio Times as well.
Glad to be here.
Let me give out our phone number, and you can either comment on it or send us a text, and that is 267-405-2006. We got a lot of comments there I can see already. Radio Times at WHYY.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. Nancy, let me begin with you and begin with the desecration of the Jewish cemetery here in Philadelphia. Why is that a particularly horrifying act for Jews?
I think that it's a particularly horrifying act for anyone. We all have loved ones who are buried, who we want to respect, who we believe when we lay them to rest that, in fact, they will be at rest. And once you go in a cemetery and you see these stones just strewn all over, some dating back well over 100 years, and some of them are turned in a way that you can't even tell whose stone it is to be able to identify. It is a very sad and harrowing and haunting experience to be in there.
To be there and to look at it and to look at the damage done.
Yes.
Terry, let me turn to you. You've gotten a lot of attention for something that you did, and this was learning about the Jewish cemetery in St. Louis that experienced some of what happened here in Philadelphia. You raised a lot of money. What inspired you to do that? Why did you do that?
Well, thank you for having me, first of all.
You're welcome.
You know, when I saw some of the images last week coming out of St. Louis, in the work I do at Celebrate Mercy, as you mentioned, we teach about the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And it immediately reminded me of a story that really inspires me, where one day he was sitting with some of his disciples and he saw a Jewish funeral procession pass by. And he actually stood up from where he was sitting just to pay his respects. Some of his disciples even said, you know, it's a Jewish funeral. It's not a Muslim funeral. So why are you standing up? And his response was so beautiful. He said, is it not a human soul? Is it not a human soul? And I thought of that story when I first saw the pictures from St. Louis. And I thought, you know, as a human being, first and foremost, you know, this is a horrific crime. I mean, I come from a family of immigrants. My parents come from Egypt. And if I had woken up one morning and heard, this could have just as easily been a Muslim cemetery. If I had heard my grandparents' graves had been desecrated in this way, I would have just been devastated. And I thought, first and foremost, just inspired by that story, I should help start a campaign to repair the damage. And I co-organized it with Linda Sarsour. By the next morning, we had launched the fundraising page.
And thought you'd raise, what, maybe $20,000,
$30,000?
Exactly. How much have you raised so far?
As of this morning, $156,000.
Wow.
The goal was $20,000, and we met that goal in 3 hours. And that, it was very overwhelming. Like, it went viral very quickly. Even on the first day, you know, J.K. Rowling tweeted about it.
And helps.
Yeah,
right?
The website crashed for an hour after she tweeted it. So the response has just been beautiful. It's been amazing to see the response.
And do we know, Nancy, thinking about this cemetery in Philadelphia, do we know the cost? I know the ADL has been raising money as well. Do we know the cost of the repair of a cemetery? I also know volunteers have been there giving of their time and talents.
The Jewish Federation in Philadelphia has been raising money for that exact purpose. And I don't believe that there are full estimates yet, because there is the issue of writing the stones and making sure that, in fact, we don't know that all of them will be able to be, of course, put back the way they were supposed to be, as well as the desire to have security and fixing some of the other things at the cemetery at the same time.
We're at this really curious, I don't know how to even describe it, juncture. On the one hand, we're seeing rise in anti-Semitism, we're seeing the rise in Islamophobia, and we're also seeing people coming together. I was looking at some headlines. Jews donate to repair Florida mosque after arson hate crime. Muslims offer to guard Jewish sites across America. Muslims give money to Jewish institutions that are attacked. So on the one hand, we have these acts of hate. And on the other hand, we have, I don't know if it's unusual, but a coming together of groups who have been targeted. Can you speak to that, Nancy?
I believe, at least certainly, the ADL for over 100 years has done just that for any group. The mission of ADL is to secure the justice and fair treatment for all. So when any group has felt discriminated or there have been attacks, we have come out, we have tried to help. I think the difference here today is that there are so many groups at the moment, be it immigrants, refugees, Latinos, Muslims, Jews, LGBT community, Hindus, Sikhs. There are so many that feel that there is something not right and are feeling a little bit nervous, that there are And there are unfortunately more opportunities, sadly, for us to come together over. There was the horrific shooting in Kansas last week of the Indian gentleman, someone yelling, "Go back to wherever you came from," or something to that effect. So there are more unfortunate opportunities for us to band together.
Tark, do you feel part of that community that Nancy just described?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I have a blessing to visit many Muslim communities. There's a lot of fear out there, especially among children. You know, it's the worst is when it's there's a rise in bullying against kids. You know, that's horrible. But I think, you know, as Nancy mentioned, like, you know, the silver lining in all of this is that the Muslim and Jewish community have not worked that closely together in the past, you know, and now we have synagogues inviting Muslim congregations. We have the opposite happening as well. You know, they're starting to get to know one another, dialogue. This is beautiful. You know, it's like when you know, what happened at the cemeteries is horrific, but if you put all the politics aside and you put aside where, you know, our differences of ethnicity or religion, at a human level, you know, that's our most sacred bond. And I think that's what's showing right now.
I know you want to add to that, Nancy.
Well, there's no question about that. I think that one of the things that ADL has been recommending to the president, there were 9 action steps that we had put forward, was in fact the issue of making sure that our school systems have adequate funding to deal with anti-bias, to deal with bullying, because if we get the children when they're young, they can then become the leaders that we want to see for our future.
I played a clip earlier of President Trump, and I do want to play also a clip. This is Vice President Mike Pence speaking at the desecrated Jewish cemetery in St. Louis after participating in a cleanup. Let's give it that a listen.
There's no place in America for hatred or acts of prejudice or violence or anti-Semitism. I must tell you, the people of Missouri are inspiring the nation by your love and care for this place, for the Jewish community in Missouri, and I want to thank you for that inspiration, for showing the world what America is really all about. Yeah.
Nancy, I was talking with Josh Shapiro about this as well, but let me turn this back to you. And we were talking about the fact that there have been some members of the Trump administration who did not speak with the kind of generosity that we heard from the vice president there. How do you reconcile what sounds like the many conflicting messages coming out of the Trump administration?
Well, certainly the president spoke with a very strong voice the other night when he was before Congress. And that's something that we are appreciative of. But we need to take words and turn them into actions and into deeds. And that goes to part of the 9 steps that we think should be implemented. And certainly the Attorney General spoke to a few of them about having broad groups come together on a federal level to look into these kinds of threats, et cetera. But there are other things that we should be doing. We need to know that the Department of Homeland Security, for instance, what they are classifying countering violent extremism, how they're going to be doing their work. Hmm. Who will they be addressing their efforts towards? And we believe that there are important groups that were covered in the past, be it white extremists, et cetera. And it seems that the administration was speaking now of going only in one direction, and that was ISIS-related. And we believe that's incorrect and wrong and bad for America. So that's just one example of what we think should happen.
Tariq, I know you want to add something.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention that what I was really upset with about the joint address to Congress was that he didn't mention anything about the Muslim community.
Great.
I mean, we've had at least a handful of mosques burned to the ground, I mean, and also attempted arson. So, like, you know, like I was appreciative of the comments about the anti-Semitic attacks and the shooting in Indiana, but what about actual places of worship that have been burned to the ground? I mean, that was really hurtful to not see that mentioned at all.
Well, let me actually, our one of our producers, John Ahrens, asked, frankly, some of his friends who were Jewish about how they feel. And one of them said, "I'm not worried for myself. Might feel differently if I wore a yarmulke. I do think there's a risk of some sort of one-off attack, but I'm more worried for Muslims than Jews." knows, the JCC bomb threats are a lot less scary than the mosque burnings, and there have been actual shootings based on Islamophobia. Are you, Tariq, do you worry about your safety?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I worry about my safety. I worry about women in my family who are outwardly dressed as Muslims. I worry about I have two young siblings actually who are still in public school, and one of whom wears a hijab, and she was called a terrorist on her school bus. I'm very worried. I mean, after, for example, San Bernardino, my wife was worried about just going to the grocery store by herself. You know, so. There's a lot of tension out there. There's a lot of fear. And unfortunately, a lot of the rhetoric during the campaign, you know, such as President Trump saying, you know, Islam hates us, those three words exactly in an interview, those kind of words create empower people to do these kind of acts.
I'm looking at the quote. He said it in 2016, I think Islam hates us.
Exactly.
What do we do about that, Nancy?
I go back, number one, to our schools. You talk about your child that was bullied. I know ADL has a program in about 225 schools and communities currently called No Place for Hate. And that works with schools to have them feel empowered to address issues like this, to look at diversity, to appreciate it. It's not tolerance, it's an appreciation. Mm. And that's what we seek to do through these programs in the schools. And so I think that that's a very important place to start. No child should feel worried about leaving their home. No child should feel worried about going to school, to the mosque. And now at the JCCs, we have children and grandparents and people worried about their children attending these places.
And JCCs are important parts of the Jewish community, right? They are centers.
Exactly.
Let me read a couple of emails. One from David from Glenside. I'm not sure if anyone has the answer to this, and have any of the perpetrators been found or not? And that's obviously an ongoing question. A comment from Milana. She says, I'm not worried for my physical safety. A comment from Rachel. I'm worried for general social atmosphere more than physical well-being. A comment from Emma. I'm extremely alarmed about the lack of response from this president. Just because he condemns anti-Semitism in a big speech does not change the fact that it took weeks for him to say something, which I think emboldens anti-Semites, and the president won't immediately speak out on the awful actions. If I can go back to you, Nancy, something we were talking about before we went on the air, going back to the press conference where the Jewish journalist stood up to ask the president a question. The president seemed to take that question as an affront, as if he were somehow being attacked.
I think he took that question personally. The question was certainly not meant to our president in a personal fashion. The journalist wanted to know what it was that we were doing. And what is distressing is that by his dressing down of that journalist and by him chastising him, it emboldened our white supremacists and our alt-right and our anti-Semites and others, certainly on the internet. And we haven't even begun to discuss the internet. And if I can read you one of the quotes from the Daily Stormer, which is one of the very, it's a neo-Nazi website. Andrew Anglin said, today they're choosing to flood us with stories about how terrible Trump's press conference was. In fact, it was one of the greatest things I've ever witnessed in my life. From start to finish, it was simply beautiful. He blasted the media, the Jews, Mexicans, Obama, all of his and our enemies. So they took it as an emboldenment. They took it as we're right and we have the ability to keep going on this wave that we're on.
I mean, do you think those kinds of hateful thoughts, I'll put this to you, Tariq, are going mainstream or have gone mainstream, somehow have a certain kind of cachet today? And perhaps it is driven by the internet, which obviously infiltrates everything.
I still give America the benefit of the doubt. I don't feel like these views, you know, are necessarily going mainstream, but I do think there's a sizable population, a sizable group, you know, a number of people that share those views. I don't think they're the vast majority, or not necessarily, they're not even necessarily the vast majority of Trump supporters, but there's still a sizable enough group that creates this ecosystem of tension and fear. And, you know, I do not also think it's a coincidence that within a week, actually, I just heard of another Jewish cemetery that was vandalized in Rochester, New York, just yesterday. So within 2 weeks, we've had three Jewish cemeteries targeted with vandalism. I don't see this as just a coincidence.
Because
of the rhetoric, I mean, throughout the campaign, because he's been endorsed by neo-Nazi groups and white supremacist groups, I mean, the, you know, it just takes two or three people from these groups to commit these kinds of crimes. And I think they do feel emboldened by some of his rhetoric and tweets and statements.
Nancy?
Yeah, David Duke, after watching the press conference, and he's a former Klan leader and someone we've known about for decades, he responded by tweeting, "Are we tired of winning yet, folks?" Mm. Clearly, they think that they are winning, and it's our job to make sure that we win, not them.
And when he says we meaning the white supremacists, the alt-right?
I would have to believe that's exactly what he meant.
And you're nodding your head too, Tarek.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, Steve Bannon said that Breitbart was the platform for the alt-right. So there.
Yeah, I mean, I think right now the best thing we can do is see what's happened after the cemetery vandalism, is where a lot of the groups that are feeling otherized right now, that are in fear right now, are getting to know one another, are mobilizing together. I think that's the most beautiful silver lining of all of this, is that what we are stronger together, you know, and that love trumps hate. I think that's the fundraiser is a clear example of that. The fact that now I've met so many beautiful Jewish rabbis in Philadelphia. I've been invited to synagogues. I'm getting postcards from children at synagogues. I mean, like, this is all beautiful. I mean, and even though there's a lot of darkness right now, there's a lot of light coming in.
Let's take a very short break and we'll get back to our conversation. That's Tarek Al-Masidi. Also with us, Nancy Baron Bear. And we are taking comments at radiotimes@whyy.org. You can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times, talking about what to do about hate. We'll be right back. This is Radio Times here on WHYY in Philadelphia. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen. We've been talking about the increase in anti-Semitism as well as Islamophobia, also what to do about it. And let me just quickly reintroduce our guest, Nancy Baron Bear, Regional Director of the Anti-Defamation League. Tarek Al-Masidi raised more than $100,000, more than $150,000 to repair damage done to a Jewish cemetery in St. Louis. He's the founder of Celebrate Mercy, producing videos and webcasts on the life of the Prophet Muhammad. And you can join our conversation several different ways, one by calling or texting our comment line, 267-405-2006. You can also send us an email, radiotimes@whyy.org, and you can tweet us at WHYY Radio Times. And we want to get some solutions from you, what we can do to deal with the situation that we find ourselves in as we deal with the increase in, frankly, hate and hate crimes. Let me get John, who called our comment line, and let's see what John had to say.
This is John. I'm calling from Newcastle, Delaware. I heard your guest refer to every religious group, LGBTQ, left out Christians. I was wondering about that.
Fair enough. Let me toss that back to you, Nancy, in terms of people coming together to...
Oh, my goodness. Yesterday, if you were at the rally that occurred just a block from here, the number of religious leaders from every denomination, there were remarks by Bishop Chaput, there were remarks by Judy Sullivan and others. There is no community that has not been wonderful in the aftermath of this. So I think what at least I was speaking about was that I was speaking more about those that felt targeted, and I can't speak to whether or not people in the Christian community feel targeted, but they have certainly been by our side.
Oh, fair enough. Tarek, what have you learned from all of this? And I mean, it seems like you had a very human and humane response to something that you found just outrageous and wrong. And here you are. I mean, I've been reading about you in the New York Times and Washington Post and all over the country.
Well, I think even more touching than all the money we've received through this campaign, you know, and at one point it was like $1,000 every 15 minutes. It was just going really viral. But even more touching than that is I've gotten about 200 emails from Jewish Americans across the country, you know, through this campaign, many of whom said, you know, some people say, like, I didn't know the Muslim community could do something like this. I thought, you know, the politics was just too in the way for us to do something this beautiful. And people have been sending stories of their loved ones buried in the cemeteries. I've reached out to some of those people that have emailed. So the notes, I think a lot of hearts have been healed through this, through this process. And just in general, you know, in terms of recommendations, you know, I also put a lot of the burden on Muslims themselves. You know, there's polls saying that 6 out of 10 Americans do not know a Muslim personally. And of those that do, of the 4 out of 10 that actually know Muslims, they have much more favorable views on Islam and on Muslims. So I put the burden on Muslims a lot to try to reach out to our neighbors more, to hold more open houses at our mosques, because the more that we have this kind of dialogue, the more that anti-Semitism and Islamophobia goes down.
Yeah,
I agree thoroughly. It's interesting because approximately 2 years, ADL did an international survey called the Global 100, where people in 100 countries were interviewed about their attitudes relating to Jews and anti-Semitism. And it was shocking. The shocking were the numbers, of course, that came out as far as how many people had anti-Semitic attitudes. But the percentage that didn't know a Jew or had never met a Jew was extraordinary. Extraordinary. I can't quote it exactly, but it was somewhere up around 70%.
Wow.
When in certain places in the world. So it's not a definite, but a statistic. But overwhelmingly, we find that once we get to know each other, once we meet and we share, things change.
I mean, it's such a simple but also a profound thing. I mean, to get to know somebody, first you have to meet somewhere or have some kind of interaction or have your paths cross. And oftentimes we live in our separate worlds.
Yeah. And one of the beautiful things is, you know, I went to the cemetery, the Mount Carmel Cemetery, you know, a few hours after I heard the news on Sunday. And one of the most beautiful thing was that there were people of all faiths, including Christians, that showed up, about 40 people or so. People were lifting headstones together. There were prayers together. Someone ordered like a bunch of coffee for everyone because it was freezing out there and very windy. But to see that initial group come together, I think that was America. That's the America that I love. That's the America that we should be.
There's apparently been an arrest. Can you speak to that, Nancy?
Yes. I have just received word. It's breaking news that a person by the name of Juan Thompson, 31 years old, was arrested in St. Louis, and he was allegedly connected to at least 8 of the bomb threats against the JCCs and against the bomb threat against our ADL national office in New York.
So that is news, and obviously
brand new news.
There will be a lot of digging to find out who this person is. The bomb threats, thank goodness, have been hoaxes so far. I almost hate to say that on the air because you just don't want anyone to think otherwise. But it seems, Nancy, that even a hoax is also an act of terror, is it not?
It certainly felt like terror to all those people who had to evacuate in January and February in the cold in, I believe, 33 or 36 states across our country. We counted 122 different bomb threats between the JCCs and the day schools and ADL offices, 122, all in the last several weeks to short months.
Let me read you a couple of more comments. One from Randall. Why does the Christian church seem so silent? Apparently that's not true. Based on what you described yesterday at the rally, is that the right word?
The gathering, the event, the support.
Just a couple of blocks from here, a comment from Laura. I believe the craziness and divisiveness of the past years has emboldened people who are already bent on hate. The perpetrators may feel justified jumping on the bandwagon. An email from Andrew in West Philly. Curious if there's someone who can contact about volunteering to help the Mount Carmel Cemetery that was desecrated here in Philadelphia. You were there, I know, Tarek, but you're nodding your head there, Nancy.
The Jewish Federation of Philadelphia, Greater Philadelphia, had set up a system because the cemetery cannot hold too many people at one time, and we must be careful in that, which we do. We shouldn't be lifting headstones and the like. They were doing work through this morning. I'm not sure if the work will continue, but if someone goes to their website, they will find that information.
I wonder to you, Tarek, and the president as a candidate made no bones about his wanting to shut the doors to a lot of Muslims coming into this country, whether refugees or immigrants. How much do you think that has fed Islamophobia?
Oh, a lot. I mean, I actually saw an article in The Atlantic where they actually put data around the fact, you know, after he said, I want to have a ban of Muslims entering the United States, there was a clear rise, you know, right after those statements, within the next few days, of attacks against mosques, threats, anti-Muslim incidents, Islamophobia in general. So his words matter, you know, his words matter, and they can embolden people to make threats or to attack people. If there is a tracker, an Islamophobia tracker from 2016 that you can find on the Huffington Post, where they actually tracked every single anti-Muslim incident that was reported to them, and they counted in 2016 385 incidents around the country that had occurred last year. That's more than one a day, and that's just what's being reported. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think that a lot of the words, you know, that like we said, you know, I think Islam hates us. You know, direct quote from President Trump and wanting to ban all Muslims. He didn't say seven countries, or, you know, he didn't say, you know, he said all Muslims from entering the country. So those kind of statements definitely feed into Islamophobia.
You want to add something to that, Nancy?
There's no, I agree, certainly. Our office is open for people when they feel that they have been in some way discriminated or attacked. And post-election, in the month following the election, we had four times as many people coming to us with reporting incidents, and they were across the board. Some were anti-Semitism, some were Islamophobia, some were anti-immigrant sentiment. I can give you one example of a young Mexican girl in a school. She happened to attend one of our No Place for Hate schools, and a friend of hers came up to her after the election, and meaning in a very positive way, put her arm around her and said, "Don't you worry. When they come after you, you can hide in my basement."
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine being that child to receive that? Now, of course, it came
from
love. And the
child who thinks it, yes.
She was being an ally, which is what we teach. She was not being a bystander, but for her to go there in her head and then relay that, that's point number one. And number two is that we also tracked, we did a special task force about anti-Semitic activity directed against journalists in the year from August of 2015 through the end of July in 2016. And we only looked at Twitter, and we found in that year 2.6 million tweets that were anti-Semitic in nature with a reach of 10 billion. That's a B for billion. So that's an extraordinary amount of prejudice.
That gets obviously spread the way.
Spread the way. And this was just against journalists, not in general.
Who obviously are probably more public than most people, but nonetheless
covering certain things that people may or may not like.
Do you think there's a connection between Islamophobia and anti-Semitism, Tarek?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's not just those two. You know, as Nancy mentioned, there's a lot of groups feeling targeted right now. I think, you know, there's a shift in America where, you know, in 40 to 50 years, it's not going to be a majority white country. I think that worries a lot of people. The change, you know, there's a lot of economic changes happening. And it's easy to blame that on the other, you know. So I think the other can be grouped into Jews, into Muslims, into Latinos, into the LGBTQ community. I think it's anyone that's different than the majority right now feel targeted.
This idea of the other, the yes. other that just looks different, sounds different.
Exactly.
Seems to believe different things.
Yeah.
You want to add something?
But in some ways, we're all the other.
Exactly.
We are all the other. Right. So the idea is for us all to celebrate that, in fact, there are others, mm-hmm. but yet work together towards a common goal of what the United States was created to be and to do.
Yeah, and one thing I want to mention also is that, you know, if you have an iPhone out there, like, you know, Steve Jobs is the son of a Syrian refugee, you know. So,
true.
You know, if you're using your iPad right now or your iPhone or your MacBook, then you have the son of a Syrian refugee to thank for that. And we have to remember our roots as a country, that we are a country of immigrants. We are a country of the other, quote unquote.
It's interesting because we're a country of immigrants, no question about it, and yet we, over our history, have not always been welcoming to immigrants. We have this very sort of divided self when it comes to this issue of immigration. Is it unusual, do you think, Nancy, to see what sounds like people truly coming together to condemn hate, to condemn these acts of violence and vandalism?
I don't think it's unusual. I mean, we see it all the time.
Do.
I think that the difference is that we're needing to do it more often. And the events that are bringing us together, like the cemetery vandalism, are just so despicable that it's making the news more than it might have before.
So I'm thinking about all that money that you raised, Tariq, and I guess it did help to have J.K. Rowling and some other
Ellen DeGeneres
also helping out. Is it a challenge to try to figure out what's the best way to spend this money? Obviously, you want to repair the damage that's been done, but it sounds like you might have some money left over.
So I've been in touch with both the Jewish Federation in Philadelphia and also the director of the cemetery in St. Louis. You know, she came back to me with a quote yesterday that the total repairs are going to be nearly $40,000 just for the repairs. They're also looking to upgrade security at the cemetery, both Jewish cemeteries in St. Louis. So she's getting back to me with a quote on that. I'm in touch also with the Jewish Federation of Philadelphia. They've raised a lot of money themselves, but they're going to let me know how much they would need help with as well. And then we just found out about a historic Jewish cemetery in Colorado, which has not been recently vandalized, but no one's been buried there since the 80s. It's on the actual registry of historic sites in America, and it hasn't been that well maintained at all. It's a beautiful story, actually, about the history of that cemetery, and we're looking to potentially restore that cemetery with these funds and just be on standby if, God forbid, there's other attacks, you know, that we can use those funds for.
That's terrific. We're almost out of time. Nancy, I know that you want to plug. You wrote me a note. I want to plug our Walk Against Hate. Go ahead.
So on May 21st at the Navy Yard, the Anti-Defamation League will be holding its 7th annual Walk Against Hate. It's the largest multicultural diversity festival in Philadelphia. It's an opportunity for families to get together, to come down to the Navy Yard, to learn about other cultures. They're featured in our Diversity Expo, entertainment that spans the globe from African drummers to Scottish bagpipers. Mm. And if there ever was a year for people to join us, this is it.
Well, Nancy Baron-Bear, thank you so much. She's Regional Director of the Anti-Defamation League. Thanks for joining us today in Radio Times.
Happy to be here.
And Tariq Al-Masidi, thank you so much for coming in as well.
Thank you.
And thank you for what you have been doing.
Thank you so much.
Really much appreciated. He's the founder of Celebrate Mercy. He produces videos and webcasts on the life of the Prophet Muhammad. To check out the Radio Times archives, programs that you might have missed, you can go to iTunes or go to whyy.org/Radio Times. Kevin Griffin, the engineer for today's edition of the show, produced by Debbie Builder, John Ahrens, and Trinae Nuri. I'm Marty Moscowane. Thank you so much for joining us.